Good morning, brethren. Hello to all you joining us on the webcast. Would you say that you're happy? Do you feel like you have joy in your life? Now, as Christians, as children of God, do you think it's important to God that we have joy? Now, the Greek word in the Bible that's translated joy is actually the word chara, C-H-A-R-A. And it can be translated as joy, gladness, or rejoicing. Now, the word joy appears 158 times in the New King James Version, and the word rejoice appears 198 times. And that's not counting variations such as joyful, joyous, or even glad. So if it appears that many times in the Bible, and it's also listed in Galatians 5 as one of the fruits of the Spirit, I think we could safely say that it's something that's important to God. Now, a verse to kind of support that, please turn with me to Psalm 68, verse 3. That's Psalm 68, verse 3. And Psalm 68, 3 says, "But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds, by his name Yah, and rejoice before him." So even just in those two small verses, we see that we're told many times to rejoice before God, which is a word that's similar to joy. So we can see that God really does care that we have joy. So as Christians, as children of God, how can we have joy? So that's what we're going to talk about today. How can we have joy? Because if it's important to God, it needs to be important to us as well. So the hardest thing is having joy in difficult situations. So my wife and I have been blessed over the past year to have a baby, which has brought immense amount of joy to our lives, but at times it's not always the easiest thing when he's waking up three or four times in the middle of the night and we're just wanting to sleep or having to go to work soon. It's not always easy to keep that joy. Or, you know, I'm a school teacher, so I deal with 150 high school students every day, and that can kind of test my joy at times as well. But so I'll talk about some stories from school in a little while, but I want to just think about in your life, what are some situations that test your joy? But before we get to that point, we need to figure out exactly what joy is and what it is not. So for point one today, we're actually going to look at what joy is not. So joy is not the same as happiness. So that's point one. Joy is not happiness. Joy is not always having fun and just having a good time and being happy about everything. It's also not an emotion. It's not based on what's going on, the circumstances in our lives, whether things are going good or not. That doesn't depend on, or that can't dictate whether we have joy or not. So it's not based on circumstances. It can't come and go like happiness does. So if we're having a good day, it's easy to be happy. But when things get tough, that happiness can go away quickly. And joy is not the same way. And in Ecclesiastes 3, it actually says there's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. So we see the Bible doesn't say that we have to be happy all the time. It's okay to be sad and to mourn. But when we're talking about joy, that's a very different subject. So we're told to have joy all the time. So now that we see that joy is not happiness, it's not about always having fun, let's look at what it actually is. So for point two, joy is being confident of God's plan, no matter the situation or circumstances. So joy is being confident of God's plan, no matter the situation or circumstances. It comes from knowing and being confident of God's promises in our lives. It gives us a sense of peace and a realization that everything will be all right, that God has a plan for us, and everyone and everything is a part of his plan. And joy has to become a part of our character, just like the other fruits listed in Galatians 5. It must be something that we're producing every day. It can't be an emotion. It has to be something that's a part of our character. And also brings a sense of contentment and optimism, a general positive outlook on life, no matter the situation. And it's because of the faith that we have in God's promises that allow us to have this hope or this joy. And it comes from trusting God's promises, his goodness, and his desire for us to have joy and to be happy. And we must be grateful and thankful to God for the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. That's what brings us ultimate joy. So please turn with me to Romans 8:28, and we'll talk about a scripture that helps bring this point home about having joy in all situations. That's Romans 8:28. So the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." So here, just in this small verse, we see that if we have this in mind, that we remember everything works together for good, it helps us to have joy in any situation, whether it's a difficulty, whether it's a loss of a loved one, whatever situation we're in. If we remember Romans 8:28, we can have joy knowing that everything's going to work out because God has a plan for us. And when we remember that everything's going to work out for good and that our trials build character and faith, it's much easier to keep joy in any situation. We're able to come to terms with what's going on in our life, whether good or bad, and we can accept it and see the greater picture that God has in plan. So to grow the fruit of joy in our lives, our focus has to change. We must go from a physical focus to a spiritual focus. We must focus on God's plan for us, remember that he is involved in our life, in every aspect of our life, and that he has good plans for us. We have to be confident that God is doing great things in our life and in the world around us. We must become far-sighted, looking at the end goal, and not focused on the difficult and the physical situations we might be going through right now. When we do these things, we begin to bear the fruit of joy in our lives. Our thinking will change from physical things to spiritual. We'll be able to endure trials without becoming depressed or angry with God. We'll be able to rejoice before God, even in challenging times. So like the Apostle James says in James 1 verse 2, he says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." So that needs to be our mindset. If we're going to have joy in all situations, we have to have faith that it's going to build our character and that God has a plan for us. So now that we have an understanding of what joy is, that it's this belief and deep faith in God and his promises and that everything's going to work out, let's look at some personal examples and see how this can apply to us on a day-to-day life. So it's something that I've been dealing with a lot lately. As I've said at the beginning, with having a baby, having Dexter has been such a blessing. And it's so fun. I love just seeing him smile. Just makes me smile. But that's not always the case at 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, especially when I'm leaving for work right after that. It's difficult to always have joy in those situations. And it's easy to get frustrated. And I've had to go back and refocus in the middle of the night, remember that, you know, God has a plan, that even though it's difficult right now, this isn't the end goal, that it's going to get better. He's going to sleep better. And he's going to be fine, and I have to keep that joy and that focus and not be so concerned about my sleep at the moment because things are going to get better. And then at school, especially on days after Dexter hasn't been sleeping, I've noticed it's much easier at school not to be as joyful either. So the other day at school, now I teach chemistry, and so we have this big emergency shower that if a kid gets chemicals on them, you pull it and it dumps like gallons and gallons of water into the middle of the classroom, which is for emergencies, obviously. But in the middle of class the other day, a student decided that apparently he thought there was an emergency, though nothing was going on, and he pulled that shower and just drenched the whole classroom. We had water everywhere and kind of derailed the class for a little while. And so it was very easy for me. I could feel just the tension building in me. My joy was quickly leaving me at that moment. And so I kind of took care of the situation, sent the kid to the office to get that taken care of, and then cleaned up the mess. Now I could tell just the rest of the day I was kind of on edge, and I couldn't let that situation dictate my joy for the rest of the day. And that's where I had to go back and refocus again and remember that God had a plan, and that even though things might not be going that well right now, that this is a good time to build patience, lots of patience sometimes, but definitely patience. And I refocused, I kind of took a deep breath, and I used it as a teaching moment, and when the student came back to school the next day, I wasn't mean to him. I was trying to be a light and show that, yeah, we all make mistakes and we still got to move on from that. And I don't know what situations you deal with. Hopefully you don't have kids pooling emergency showers. But whatever is going on in your life, whether stuck in traffic or difficulty with your children, we all have situations that test our joy at times, that are difficult times that make it frustrating at times to keep a good attitude. And those are all situations that we have to deal with, that we have to refocus. Remember that God has a plan in mind and that everything's a part of that plan. So, and as I study this topic of joy, there's so many scriptures. Like I said at the beginning, there's like 350 scriptures that talk about joy and rejoicing in the Bible. But I kept going back to Paul's writings because they're full of talking about joy, and especially the book of Philippians. Now, if you read the book of Philippians, it's amazing to see all the times that Paul talks about joy in Philippians, especially when you take into account that he was actually in prison while he was writing the book. So as I wanted just to really read the book of Philippians today as my sermonette, but I figured that wouldn't go over too well. But I encourage you today, or as you study joy later on, just to read through the book of Philippians and try to get Paul's perspective. All these times that he'd been beaten, he'd been stoned, he'd been shipwrecked, and he'd been in prison multiple times, yet while he's sitting in prison, he's able to write this book so full of joy and optimism because he had God's plan in mind for him. And if we can get that plan of God in mind for us as well, no matter the situation, it allows us to have joy in all situations. So one verse in Philippians I want to just quote quickly is Philippians 4, verse 4, where Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." And he talks about being content in all things. And just, I really encourage you to read that book when you have time. So if we're going to claim to be children of God, we must be producing the fruit of joy in our lives every day. Like Paul, we must learn to have joy in the good times and the difficult times. And joy is important to God, so it must also be important to us.